Yes, we're back. After a 4-week break, we have the news to catch up on from the last 4 weeks. We got some great feedback we'd like to share with you, and we have a new voice to discuss this fortnight's featured episode, Asleep in the Deep. Today is Sunday, the 28th of October 2007, and this is episode 10 of the Dad's Army podcast.
Kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think we're on the run, we are the boys who...
Hi, James. One of us has been on holiday, I believe.
Yeah, and it's not you.
It's not me.
Yes, I've been away. Went to Madeira in Portugal for a couple of weeks, and it was fantastic, although it does seem like it was a very long time ago already. So you continued going to work and you didn't go away anywhere, Tone, no?
Nothing special to report, no.
Well, I'll try not to feel too guilty. Even when I was away, you know, I checked their emails as well and sent responses back, so that just shows how dedicated we are, even though we haven't had a podcast for nearly 4 weeks now.
Anyway, how did you check your emails while you were away?
They had a computer next to our room, actually. It was in the library next to our room, and every now and again I went to log on and just check our emails. My wife was most impressed. Anyway, one of the emails we've received is from David in Glasgow, and he says, "Dear James and Tony, keep up the good work with the podcasts, really enjoying them. In one of the shows, you mentioned the Barmy Army Film Club. There was a small item on them in the Bill Pertwee book, Dad's Army, The Making of a Television Legend." And David gives us a link as well, so we can actually go and check online to see what they're about. But yeah, we did mention the Barmy Army. It must have been a couple of months ago now, Tony, I think.
I don't know hardly anything about them, but if they're putting on a play here and there, I think I'd be interested in seeing it.
I understand that they make DVDs, and they make new stories, and they actually include members of the original cast. I know Frank Williams and Pamela Candel, and I think Bill Pertwee has been involved in their productions, but I'm the same as you. I haven't heard much about them. It's something that I've promised to look into, and I will do, and if you're listening and you're from the Barmy Army Film Club, then feel free to get in contact with us. David moves on. He raises another issue, which I think you've got something on, Tony. I was wondering if you or any of the listeners know if there were any extra features on the forthcoming DVD releases of the Christmas specials and the complete collection.
We know that there's a range of extra features. We're not sure which of the two releases they're going to appear on, or if they're going to be spread out between the two. There's the first release is the Complete Dad's Army, and that's on the 29th of October. £99 is the recommended retail price. Yeah. The second release is just a small DVD of the Christmas specials. We don't know which of these DVDs the extra features are coming on. There is a rumour that Jimmy Perry and David Croft have recorded a commentary for Battle of the Giants. It's anyone's guess if it's true, or even if it is true, which of the two releases it appears on.
Oh, I do hope so. I don't think any of the individual series had any commentaries on at all.
Never heard any. I would love to hear something like that.
No, I agree. I hope that... Well, I mean, what would be the odds that the special features are actually going to be shared out between the two releases? I do hope they're not. We shall wait and see. Anyway, just to mark the release of the final few episodes, Tony and I will be discussing one of those episodes on our next podcast, and that's The Love of Three Oranges. So if you've got any comments on that particular episode, feel free to get in touch and we'll read them out during that episode. Moving on then, our next piece of news, again, is just a small piece of news. The unforgettable Arthur Lowe was broadcast again on ITV on the 29th of September. So it was a little while ago now. And I think that's the second airing that's got in a space of about 3 months. So either they're looking to fill in the schedule and they just decided to put this programme in, or perhaps, again, because Dad's Army has featured quite heavily in the news and national media recently, they decided to show it again. And that was on a Sunday, or Saturday or Sunday evening. I can't remember exactly what day.
Yeah, you annoy me, though, when you tell me that it's been on. Can you let me know when it's coming on, so I can actually look at it and record it, please?
I have a feeling I only found that out a couple of hours before it was on, so I do apologise, Tony, but I've got it, I've taped it this time, so
basically, though, if people have watched it and they knew it was on, and if they didn't watch it, it's too late to watch it.
Yeah, if listeners do pick up on anything that's being broadcast, then feel free to drop us an email and we'll make sure we announce it in good time so Tony can set his video recorder. Lastly in the news this week, there are two pieces featuring in one the Daily Telegraph and another in the Echo, and the Daily Telegraph clearly being a national newspaper, and that reported on the stage play, and this is one of the most comprehensive reviews that I've seen in any of the nationals, and especially it was the first one I've seen in the broadsheet, and they've got a photograph also of the cast, and again I will post a link to that on the show notes and on our website. And the other article I mentioned is in the Echo, and it focuses on an actor called Martin Carroll, who plays Hodges. Do you remember him from the stage play?
Yes, just about, yep.
I thought he was pretty good. I thought he was a fairly good, accurate air raid warden, Hodges, really. And he grew up in Southend, so he's got a bit of a history of the local area. And the Echo's review focuses on the play from Martin's point of view. They've interviewed him as well. And again, that's available on the website, on the Echo's website. So I will post a link to that article as well. Something, Tony, that's not on our podcast playing because I've just remembered it. I listened to the news quiz on Radio 4 earlier on today, and Sandy Toksvig mentioned something that I was quite surprised to hear. They were discussing Ming Campbell's resignation last week from the Liberal Party.
Now, was it Ming? Or is it Menzies?
Menzies, I don't know. In fact, there's a character in Dad's Army called Menzies at some point, isn't there? And I think Mannering has a trouble with it as well. I think that's if the cap fits.
Anyway, true.
I'm digressing. The
not why I find that exciting.
No, nor do I. But there you go. Yeah. But the story goes that, obviously, there was a lot of confusion as about why Ming Campbell actually decided to resign. People asked him lots of questions, and apparently somebody answered on his behalf that he was very frustrated that everyone kept on bringing up his age. He was 66 years old, and in theory he could be 69 at the next general election. And someone quoted him saying he was fed up with all the jokes, he was fed up with all the comments, and in particular he was fed up with being called Private Godfrey from Dad's Army. So I thought, well, it's just good how the way people bring Dad's Army into almost any conversation.
Mr. Brown goes off to town on the A21, but he comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun.
We've received a couple of pieces of feedback, Tony, whilst we've been away. First of all, was about our discussion on guerrilla warfare. We've come in for a little bit of criticism here. This is from a chap who calls himself IQ, and he's on
the...
This
is not Nathan again.
No, Nathan, I think, will never speak to us again. Here's a chap, for those of you who didn't listen to our earlier podcasts, who's left a rather negative review of our podcast on iTunes. But this isn't a review of the podcast, it's a review of our discussion on guerrilla warfare. And I've checked with IQ, and he's quite happy for me to read out his comments. And he says, "I can't agree on your joint score for guerrilla warfare, but it's all down to personal opinion. What you have missed is that this episode stands on its own very well. Not everyone has seen all the episodes and the repeated set pieces you refer to. You'll be saying that Mannering said stupid boy when he said it in several previous episodes next." Okay, so, well, I won't carry on. I'm going to address that part first. And I seem to remember at the time we said that this episode, Guerrilla Warfare, was... It suffered from a lot of the standard repertoire of cliched jokes. Yeah, which are generally quite funny.
Not about suffered, but yeah, had a lot of min. Mm. Yeah.
What I also said, or what I think is true, is that those standard jokes work best when they're balanced with a whole lot of unique jokes as well. And some episodes, that balance is absolutely perfect, and there's others that are not so good. And I think Guerrilla Warfare, as I said at the time, just about gets away with it. And there are other episodes where I think jokes like Stupid Boy and Realms of Fantasy and some of the visual gags are played again and again, and it's got nothing new to offer. And that's what I don't like so much. So, there, that hopefully explains my comments.
Okay, now we can all take our anoraks off now.
We can. Oh, no, I'd thoroughly enjoy wearing my anorak, Tony. Anyway, we haven't finished yet. Anyway, IQ carries on, and he's put, okay, so the annoying Jones doesn't do much, but there's some nice comedy moments to make up for it, and that's absolutely correct. Now, there's something else that I thought was quite interesting. He's mentioned, neither of you picked up on the fact that the nuns must have been stranded overnight for the colonel to pick them up the next day.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It is. You see, and you thought I was an anorak, Tony. Thank you for pointing that out,
that's
because
brilliant.
You're right, we both missed it, and it was quite clever. And again, he puts in brackets, love the line passing the pleading nuns, ignore them, men.
I quite like the idea of nuns being stranded overnight. I think it's quite appealing.
Well, I think that's probably quite a sinister comment there, Tony. But anyway, and again, something else we mentions, which IQ goes on to say, I think the first scene in the hall yard is classic. Wilson just doesn't give up, and because this is a clean podcast, I won't read out what he writes. But it's true, Wilson just doesn't really care exactly what Mannerin thinks of him. And lastly, IQ says, hope you both enjoy your holiday, and I don't believe that you are having separate holidays. Admit it, you're off to Norfolk location together. Thanks ever so much, IQ. I really appreciate you sending in your comments, and please keep them coming in. And a separate message, IQ mentions about our featured episode coming up, which is a Sleep in the Deep. He said he'd give a Sleep in the Deep a big 5 stars. I don't think there's a bum line in it, from Take Your Thumb Out of Your Mouth, Boy, so all the way to Wilson, Take Your Trousers Off. And you'll get to hear what me and my friend James think of A Sleep in the Deep shortly.
That's a great bit of feedback there.
It is. Thanks, IQ. Also, moving on, back onto the iTunes reviews. We mentioned a little while ago that we had 3 reviews on iTunes, and somebody took pity on us and decided to review it again, and I'd just like to read you the comments here. This is from someone who calls themselves Kalo58. I was really surprised to find a Dad's Army podcast. It's nice to know that there are still Dad's Army lovers out there. I listened to your podcast and you said you only had 3 reviews, so I thought I'd let you know what I think. I'm a 17-year-old girl, so it's not really usual for someone my age to like Dad's Army, but I've loved it ever since I can remember, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Keep it up. Thanks ever so much, Kalo. One of the unique traits of Dad's Army that Tony and I have talked about many a time is that it does appeal to absolutely everybody. It's not aimed at old people, it's not aimed at young people, it's just aimed at a general audience, and all manner of people listen to it, and I think that's one of its strengths.
Don't you think you are giving Mr. Hitler if you think old England? We've got just a few announcements to make. Firstly, for anyone who's waiting for the interview that James did with the landlord of the Six Bells pub in Thetford, or near Thetford, we have got it. We did record it. I know, because I had to go with James over to Thetford. We're going to play that when we are featuring an episode which includes the Six Bells pub in it. So we just thought it'd be more relevant to hang on to it for a bit.
Thank you to everyone who sent in your review of the stage play that's touring the UK at the moment. I'm not reading them out in a normal podcast. I'm going to be saving them up, and we'll have a last stage show special podcast coming up, hopefully very shortly. So please do keep all your reviews coming in, and we'll read them out all in one go.
It did sound like that you were reading that announcement. Please tell me you weren't.
No, I wasn't. Okay, just the way I speak, I'm afraid.
Okay, I'm not sure whether I believe it or not. But in final announcement, if anyone wants to take part in the phone-in that we're planning for the stage play, regarding the stage play, please email us at warmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk.
Underneath the spreading chestnut tree, where I held you on my knee, there we raised a family, neath the spreading chestnut tree.
Are you all right, Jones?
Yes, sir. I'm all right, but it's difficult doing the actions when you're pressed up against a wall.
I'd like to welcome my friend James back to the podcast. James is filling in for Tony, who's otherwise engaged this week, and we'll be discussing very shortly comments on the episode that opens season 5, A Sleep in the Deep. Welcome back to the podcast, James.
Hello again. What did you think about this episode overall?
Overall, I thought it was a set of actors and writers on top of their game. Series 5, I think, was the sort of the peak of the Dad's Army phenomenon, as it were. All the actors are noticed sort of working well off each other as well. There's very good interplay, a lot of banter between the different actors. They know each other very well by now, and they're very comfortable. And it's rattled along very nicely, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's key that this is the opener of Series 5, and they didn't feel the need to establish any characters again, or didn't feel the need to remind people of what these individuals were like. Mm. It was an immediate entry into established comedy, and they used the audience's knowledge, or prior knowledge, of those characters to start making jokes straight away, and I think it was good. One of the things I thought was quite prominent here as well was the seriousness of the war, and this is something Tony and I continually talk about in Dad's Army. Yes. And although this, I think, was actually quite a funny episode, there were jokes all the way through. The opening scene, because essentially there are only two real scenes in this episode. There's a scene in the air raid shelter and a scene in a pumping station.
Yes.
But there's that it opens with a raid, you know, with bombs falling down, which I think he's done extremely well. Jones and his section are out patrolling, you know, when bombs are falling. You know, Wilson explains how tired he is, and it's true, the Home Guard were extremely pressured.
Hence Godfrey was asleep for a large chunk of the episode as well.
Well, yes, and he's about 110 as well. Pike referred to sweet rationing as well, and coupons. Mm.
Yes, I haven't heard mention of hundreds and thousands for many a year.
No, me neither. But it actually made quite a lot of sense if he gets his sweet rations, you know, in hundreds and thousands. Although Mannerin didn't seem to be too impressed by being told about this.
Now, I wondered why Pike had gone for hundreds and thousands, but of course it was the setup for a big joke where it ends up over the floor.
There's actually quite a serious line that Mannerin's given here, and I'm not entirely certain whether it was deliberate, but the line he was given was, "War is nothing to do with common sense." Do you remember at that point where Fraser was saying it's sheer common sense to stay put because shrapnel's falling down like hail? Hmm. And Mannerin just said, "War has got nothing to do with common sense." And that's something I've heard time and time again recently about the Gulf conflict and, you know, Iraq and so on.
Yes, I missed that line. I think one other point about the episode is, it goes along quite fast. Hmm. And there's so many comments out there. Just throw it into the mix. Often you get characters talking on the top of each other as well, a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of thing, if it happened today, they would probably recut or retake, you know, so that the characters had their own time to get the lines. Absolutely, all the actors had the time to get the lines correct.
You've got a lot of actors jumping in there, like Pike jumps in at certain stages, Jones jumps in, and Fraser too.
Yeah.
They all do it throughout the episode. They have their little cameo moments, their moments to shine.
Was there a particular character you think got a good deal in this episode, or is some one character that you enjoyed the lines of?
Well, Fraser got his catchphrase in three times. Which I thought was probably a Dad's Army record, actually.
I'm not sure whether or not he said doomed more than three times in any one episode. Mm. I thought he was funny in this episode as well. I thought he was good.
Mm. He seemed to have a higher profile than other episodes.
I think his story about the guys in the submarine, whereby, you know, he just finishes it off with a different pitch in his voice, saying a terrible way to die.
Yes.
And it is, but he kind of he's almost macabre a little bit, Fraser's lines, and yet he turns it into comic.
Well, as ever with Dad's Army, there's humour in there, but there's a sense of element of truth as well.
No, certainly, certainly. I thought he was.
Which you touched upon with Mannering earlier, didn't you?
Indeed.
That's supposed to be, in a sense, funny, but it's supposed to be also quite real.
I've never known another programme to get the balance so spot on between comedy set in a tragedy, because it is essentially a comedy set, and you could quite easily call the war a tragedy. Was there any characters that you think didn't work particularly well, or that you thought their lines weren't as funny?
I think Jones has been on better form than he was in that particular one. There were times when he was the only man on the screen, like right at the end, when he was unscrewing the bolts, and you wanted it to move along a bit quicker, perhaps, than the show allowed.
It's funny you mentioned Jones, because, I mean, you probably won't know, but I've mentioned in the past that I'm not that keen on Jones usually. I think he's just a pain in the rear in his episodes. I mean, his permission to whisper very loudly, you know, when they've just made very clear that if they talk loudly, they're going to have a possible collapse. I know it's comedy, and I'm probably looking into it too much.
Well, it's going back to your reference earlier to common sense, because frequently in the episode, the characters don't use common sense. Even Walker doesn't when he shouts out.
No, that's true. But he talks
Godfrey about... doesn't when he shuts the door behind him. And then Jones, common sense is very rarely on the radar with Jones in this episode.
Well, he talks about being ahead of a daisy chain, which... Well, I mean, the only reason why you said the word daisy is because it fits in nicely with the word chain. I didn't think
that comes neatly around your comment earlier about bravery as well, the brave aspect of the war, because that's brave of Mannering to volunteer to be the second man when he didn't need to.
No, I noted that as well, and I think that's his courage coming to the to the fore there, which again was almost at odds with the remainder of the episode, because it was a serious moment right in the middle of a whole load of jokes. I noticed Hodges' line, which was, "A fine mess you've landed us in, Mannering," which of course is extremely reminiscent of Laurel and Hardy, you know, another fine mess.
Well, again, as Dad's Army, I think, as the series ran along, it became, there was more of a slapstick element, there was more physical comedy, as they got more confident in their writing and their performing, they got more physical, and of course that's going down the Laurel and Hardy route.
I think it was a balance, it was a hard balance to strike, whether or not Perry and Croft decided to continually repeat established slapstick jokes in, you know, Mannering's glasses falling down his nose and his hat. One of the things worked here, I don't know whether it worked or not, was he was continually trying to get a bunk up or a bunk down onto a bench that was clearly very easy. I mean, Mannering's not that overweight, or Arthelot wasn't that overweight.
Or inflexible.
Yes.
Or immobile. I mean,
did that really work, do you think? Or was that something similar to what you were describing?
It's a bit old school, but it by no means was a jarring moment, unlike some of what Jones, I felt, came out with. But no, it was there and gone in a flash anyway. And that's another sign of perhaps the way that they were trying to try new things. Like they throw like little snippets in there. If it didn't work, move on very quickly. In the same way the Fast Show does that. If they throw things in so fast, it doesn't work fine because you want to the next one for even
more. And you've forgotten it before.
Exactly,
it's done,
But there's a lot of that in this episode.
I think they introduced some new visual humour as well. I'll say unique to this episode where, I mean, I noticed you laughing when we were watching it, which is where Mannering returns from the tunnel holding Wilson's hands.
Yes, that was good. That was an unusual note as well. That again is a sign of perhaps something that you wouldn't get now, but you got then in the same way that Morecambe and Wise, you got them, the two of them in bed together, for instance. But there was no suggestion of anything, but it was still funny, because there might be. So in Dad's Army, you've got two chaps holding hands. And one of them absent-mindedly carrying on holding it.
No, absolutely. But and Wilson not actually having the courage to say, why are we still holding hands?
Yes, indeed. Although I suspect he just want to get out of the way of that masonry, which I would do as well. But another thing as well that I noticed in that episode, which again is not something that I'd seen that often in Dad's Army, Just for a bit of background, is that I've actually, for the listeners on the podcast, I've been following the Dad's Army, because James has them all on DVD, of course. I've been following them, watching them in turn, starting with Series 1 and onwards, and I've now got Series 3 ready to watch at my leisure soon. Thanks very much, James. And thanks for the loan. And the one thing that I noticed in this particular episode, which is called Series 5, so jumping on slightly, is that there is a lot of background comedy as well, with Pike with the finger in the sandbag. And that's designed to rumble along in the background in the way that, say, something like Naked Gun did a lot of later on. So that was slightly ahead of its time and quite unusual.
It was. They use Pike a lot to do things like that, because, I mean, you mentioned putting his finger in a hole.
Yes.
He always is the one who gets wet. When he had to tie his tunic around the leaking pipe as well.
And you mentioned how uncomfortable that must have been to film.
It must have been extremely difficult to film. You know, this is 30 years ago now.
Yes, exactly. But I bet if you interview Ian Levender, which hopefully you will one day,
when
you get a question, he'll be going, "Yes, I got hypothermia that day." Because he probably did, if they did plenty of takes of that.
Well, it wasn't just him. It was also Bill Pertwee got stuck in his bath. And I wonder whether that bath really did have a bottom in it, or whether or not he was just...
Quite possibly,
standing
but then
through.
Again, if you had a bottom in it, then Bill Pertwee would also have got all the way.
Absolutely.
So it might have been kind on him not to have that pole in the bottom.
Well,
again, we can ask and find out, I guess.
Well, maybe one day.
Yes.
Lastly, then, just to wrap up the discussion, James, I mean, out of a rating of 5, I know you're coming at these episodes in a different way because it's the first time you've seen them.
Yes.
But you've already seen, as you said, the first two series.
Mm.
So out of 5, how would you score this?
Well, Dad's Army as a series stands up to this day remarkably well. That episode also stands up remarkably well. And I would say there's one or two longueurs, but overall I give it a 4.
I would also score it a 4. I'd already come up with that score before you mentioned yours. It's one of my favourites. There are a couple of others that I think top that in terms of some of the quality of writing, and also some of the visual gags I think probably work slightly better. And there are a couple of episodes whereby every single individual character works, and I don't think that happened here, particularly with Jones' character. Anyway, James, thanks very much indeed for spending the time talking to us.
Thanks
again
for having me on your podcast.
And if you like hearing James as well as Tony, then feel free to email me in warmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk and let us know what you think.
That's just about it for this week's podcast. Thanks to James for joining me in discussing Asleep in the Deep. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. That's the weekend of November the 10th or the 11th, where we'll be discussing The Love of Three Oranges. So please let us have your thoughts, comments, theories, criticisms, all of your ideas about that episode. If you haven't emailed us before, or even if you have emailed us before, please get in touch again. We always enjoy receiving feedback, and it really makes the podcast a little bit more exciting to hear our listeners' thoughts and comments. If you really are on the technological side of things and you're feeling adventurous, then please send us an MP3 recording, and we'll actually play that into the podcast so that we can hear your comments and hear your voice rather than just us reading out your emails. In addition, if you'd like to join us in discussing one of our featured episodes, then also get in touch with us by email and we'll sort something out. Our email address, as I'm sure you know by now, is warmingtononsea333@yahoo.co.uk. So that's all from us for now. We look forward to you joining us again in a couple of weeks' time. Bye for now.